Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 222, dedicated to a man who on September 9th, 1945, this Major League Baseball Hall of Famer hit his 534th and final home run, Mr. Jimmy Fox. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Mr. Garrett Grandy. It's him and I go around the NFL and help prepare everyone for the NFL season, which starts tonight. A couple weeks ago, we had week zero in college football. Last week, the first full slate, weekend slate of games, which are played from September the 1st all the way through the not-so-enjoyable game to watch on that Labor Day night, Ole Miss and Louisville. But tonight is a night the National Football League season kicks off. The Super Bowl champion Buccaneers host the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott is in phenomenal shape. Dak Prescott is back. Zach Martin looks like he would not be playing in the very first game of the season. Tom Brady, what will we see from him? Antonio Brown, I'm hearing some good things about him from Tampa Bay. Let's see what he does during the season. The season starts tonight, which also means this week we're going to have our first full week of picks from the games in college football, five games, and the games in the NFL season weekend slate, five games as well. In the NFL, we're going to pick every primetime matchup, Thursday, Sunday night, and Monday night. Also going to pick two games, one game from the 1 o'clock, one game from the 4 o'clock slate on Sunday to get five games for the week. College football, pick one game either Thursday or Friday, and then we're going to pick four games on Saturday to get our five games there. Last week, your boy went 4-1. The only loss was North Carolina lost to Virginia Tech. Jay should have known, going to Blacksburg, enter Sandman. It's almost like a recipe for disaster for the opponent, and it was that way. Any night game at Blacksburg surely seems like Vautech is going to have a really good shot of winning, and they did. We're also going to be reiterating the way that this is going to go for the time for the rest of the season. Whenever we have a guest, I will go over the picks for that day, whatever games I'm going to be picking. At the end of the show, I'll go over and let you know what games Jay is picking for the weekend's games. In the NFL, Cowboys and Buccaneers on Sunday, Cardinals and Titans, Browns and Chiefs, Bears and Rams, and then Monday night, Ravens and Raiders. Those are the five games in the NFL we're picking for the week. In college, on Friday, Kansas goes on the road to Coastal Carolina. On Saturday, Oregon goes on the road to Ohio State, Iowa and Iowa State, Washington and Michigan, and then Stanford and USC. Those are the five games Jay is picking for the week for college and NFL. Who is Jay picking to win each game? Gotta stick around to find out. Let's go and take a trip to the state of New York to enjoy my fun conversation with Mr. Garrett Grandy. Him and I go around the NFL. And joining us now here on the Jay Stevens Podcast, it's a guest that we've had on numerous times, but for some odd reason, there was a long hiatus between the last time he was on and the time he's on now. It's a gentleman that I went to college with, still talk to every now and then, is Mr. Garrett Grandy. Garrett, how are you doing? Football, NFL football is back today.
Oh man, I'm doing good. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad to see, you know, the opportunities that you've had in your show, and it's been amazing to see from a distance. And it has been a while, but I'm excited. Football's back. College football's back, which is super exciting. And NFL starting up in 3 days is awesome time. And can't wait to see some more football here.
Yeah, man, football is here. College football week one, the first full weekend of football from Wednesday until Monday. And now we get the Cowboys and Buccaneers on Bucks Thursday night. Yeah. And then we get games all weekend, Sunday and Monday. The time of year we have all been waiting for is finally here. We get college football Saturdays. We get high school football on a Friday if you go to those games. We get NFL on a Sunday and a Monday. Garrett, I love this time of year.
It's the best time of year. It's the best. The weather is, you know, usually very beautiful. It's not too hot, not too cold, but it's just the sights and the sounds. Even you mentioned It was actually, I owe it to you that I seen how many high school games you went to. I'm like, I'm going to start going to some of these high school games just because, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because, just to be around the game. And sometimes, you know, some of these games, the kids, they don't, you know, they're playing for, you know, maybe a scholarship, you know. So they're playing for a lot. They're playing for a future. And it's exciting, even at the high school level.
Well, think about this. I was just thinking about this just when you said the high school and playing for a scholarship. A lot of these kids are playing for that scholarship to get a free education because a lot of them mm-hmm. know there's probably no chance for them to go and play in the NFL. NFL season's here, college is here. But a lot of these guys, it goes from paying $20,000 a year for school or plus to absolutely nothing if they get an athletic scholarship. So they're playing for a lot of these Friday nights. And it's nice to hear that you're going to games because it's enjoyable. Yeah. It's a great way to have – to be entertained and not spend a lot of money to do so.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I really when I went to high school there in Brockton, Massachusetts, we have a pretty good football program. It's pretty renowned program, and I kind of, you know, just stopped going after high school. But recently, I'm like, I'm going to check out some of these local teams. Just pay attention to some of these guys, watching clips just to see, you know, who's going to be the next college star, you know, at the high school level, because, you know, they have the rankings and the high school preps, you know, the rankings and the videos and the mixtapes. And it's kind of cool to watch. So
a lot of fun to watch. NFL season, there's so many things to talk about. 32 teams, from the quarterbacks to the wide receivers to guys on defense. What's your general excitement for this year's NFL season?
Yeah, I can't remember a time where I've been so interested in rookie quarterbacks just to see, you know, we had last year, but the last 2 years, we've had a really good class of guys that have come in that are and also controversial, like, how is this guy going to do? You know, you have Justin Fields, you know, how is he going to do? You have obviously the guy behind me, Mac Jones replacing Cam there, and seeing, you know, typically Alabama guys don't play too well. Quarterbacks don't fare too well for some reason in the pros, but you have some Alabama guys that are going to be taking over the reins full time. Tua and Jalen Hurts, and we'll see how Kyler Murray progresses this year with the Cardinals. But there's a lot of young guys. And you see also, I think the college game is so much more important because a lot of players coming out of college in the NFL game, a lot of those quarterbacks are, how am I trying to say this, two-way players, if you will. They're runners and throwers. And you're seeing more and more of those guys drafted, which is very usually it's not as common in the pro game. You know, we grew up with guys, you know, Brady still playing, but Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger, he ran maybe a tiny bit, but most of them are just pocket guys. But now the guys coming out are all runners. You know, they're athletic, very athletic. And that seems to be the common theme now. Is if you're not athletic, you're not going to be a starter. I mean, look at Trey Lance. You know, there's so many Zach Wilson. Justin Herbert's only was the second year. You got, there's so many guys that are, you know, we're kind of turning the page, if you will. We've had so many years of the same core guys, you know, playing in championships, but now all these young guys, it's exciting. That's what I'm looking forward to, is to seeing the development of a lot of these young guys as they kind of become the face of the league.
Here, I got a question for you. Do you think that a quarterback needs to be athletic to be successful in the National Football League?
That is, you know, I've always been, you know, I'm a pocket passer first.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the game is now, it almost feels like, yes, there's so – the schemes offensively and defensively, the young coaches' minds – you got McVay and there's others, you know, that are the coach there, the 49ers, is my name escaping me. others that are, you got these young minds and these schemes, these packages. Definitely, I think, I mean, you have to be able to throw the ball. I mean, let's be real. But you do have to be able to move around. And so I think the game is becoming younger, more athletic, and you do need to be able to have that ability, not necessarily to be Lamar Jackson, where you're going to be running around, you know, you're going to be running 100 yards. he's basically a running back who can throw, you know. And people always say, who's the best running back in the league? Sometimes I say it's Lamar, because he really is something special. But definitely, I would say, if you asked me that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I would say no. But now I would say, yeah, I think you do have to have some athleticism. You can't be, you know, you have to be able to move around and to, you know, more RPO style offenses nowadays.
I ask that because I often wonder, we're going to get to the NFL around the NFL stuff here in a second that Garrett and I mentioned before we started recording this show. But I've often wondered, Garrett, if that is needed, because now granted, these are Hall of Famers, but I wonder if you get a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, who's not a Hall. I don't think Matt Ryan will get in the Hall of Fame now. He may get in like down the road, 20, 30 years, like an old timer. You did great back then. We'll put you in. But that, I think that's the only way he'll get into the NFL Hall of Fame. But you get, like, let's just say you got Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, and they're all Drew Brees, Eli Manning, and they're all coming in right now. Most of those guys, if not any of them, are considered athletic in today's sense. But they also have a skill set that, even though the game is very athletic, they can be successful in that. Now, those are some of the best of the best of the best we've ever seen. So I know I'm using a weird example, but let me give you Matthew Stafford. Could Matthew Stafford come into the league now and be successful? I absolutely think he could be.
Yeah.
Other guys that are not athletic. Now, Matthew Stafford's situation, it's always been weird because his team was never good. Like, he never had a good defense. His organization never tried to put the best pieces around him to be successful, which is why that team was what they were while he was there. So I don't know, man. Like, these are all hypothetical things I think about all the time randomly because Jay does stuff like that. So I don't know. Like, I would think yes. We've seen so many guys that put emphasis on the arm that I don't know if you need that athletic ability at that position to be successful, even in today's game.
I think you bring Matthew Stafford is such a good example of what you're talking about here, because to me, he had Calvin Johnson. He had some good players. He's a Hall of Fame player, obviously, Megatron, but he wasn't transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay. So when I think of like Peyton Manning, Brady, others, Breeze that you mentioned, they can take a no-name guy and, you know, and make him look like an all-star, make him look like he belongs in the Pro Bowl. And then he goes and plays for someone else and he's a bum. And you realize that he's always a bum. He just had a great quarterback there with him. You know, there's, I think of somebody that comes to mind is Decker. Eric Decker, who always looked like a Hall of Famer with Pete Manning. And then when he would play for anybody, when he played for anybody else, you're like, who is this? He's kind of a bum.
I think he went to the Jets after he was in Denver. And I was like, okay. He's not the same player. Yeah.
No. You know, there's only a couple guys that when they left, you know, and there's some guys that went from Brady to Manning, like Wes Welker. So it's hard to say, you know, was he really that good? Because you go from one Hall of Famer to another. But, you know, I think guys like Austin Cawley and these guys, why do I remember their names? Is because of Peyton Manning. It's not because of Austin Cawley. It's because of Peyton Manning. So Matthew Stafford, yeah, you're right. He could be successful, but he's not going to – is he going to take you over the hump? We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see. Right. You know, ultimately, too, it's a game of the mind, too. I mean, Peyton Manning, Brady – others are basically offensive coordinators on the field. You know, they're able to audible. They're able to adjust the line of scrimmage, your offensive line, or point out who the mic is. You know, you hear that often. Both of them did that often. 52 is the mic. You know, Ray Lewis, 52 is everybody knows he's the mic, but he's pointing it out to the guys in front of him and getting his offensive line set. You know, the guys that talk a little bit more, the leaders, they're the ones that, and I think also as you get older, you do need to, kind of get away from obviously running around the athletic side of it and becomes more of a mental studying, knowing the team you're playing, the tendencies, and being able to adjust and being able to know your limitations as you get older. Cause you've seen, you know, you've seen guys that start off hot and then they, you know, they don't adjust. So you do need obviously you have to become a pocket passer at some point. I think of that with Lamar, like he can't do what he's doing forever. He's going to get hurt as he gets older because just naturally that's what happens. I think of a Robert Griffin, you know, I mean, how talented. I mean, one rookie of the year took the football team, to the playoffs for the first year. And then what happened? He got hurt. He didn't develop, you know, that pocket passing ability. So you're right. I mean, in a way, yes, you can, you know, what is more valuable? Probably the passing, the pocket passing is probably more valuable in the long run.
That could be why the first team we're going to talk about, first player we're going to talk about in the offense of this team, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, still there. They still have a lot of weapons, and they're still looking to be possibly one of the better teams in the National Football League. Tom Brady used to be a quarterback that you loved. Now, you may still love him, but not in the same way that you did when he was in New England. Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, they kicked the season off playing the Cowboys, which should probably be a blowout, especially with the Cowboys not having Zach Martin to start the season. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate for them that the whole COVID thing is up and he's on the COVID list. But with or without him, I still think the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys on Thursday night. And I do think that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers will possibly turn some heads, and Tom Brady will make people think, does he control Father Time? Is he truly the one that is telling Father Time when he's up? Tom Brady to you, man. I know you used to love him, and I'm sure you had some crazy thoughts about him right now.
Yeah, I think it's amazing what he's done. I do think, though, if he played 30 years ago, 40 years ago, he probably wouldn't, you know, nobody's going to be playing until 45.
Right,
And I think what we're going to see, too, is a lot of these guys like Rodgers that are a little bit old, 37, 30, Roethlisberger's kind of had more injuries than Rodgers has had a lot of injuries too, collarbone injuries and stuff, but they're going to say, hey, I can play till I'm 43, 44, 45. And these younger guys too, Mahomes, you know, who knows how long he's going to play. And so I think with the way the game is now, it does lend itself to these guys playing it all a lot longer. And you do see, I see the Patriots offense in the Buccaneers offense. And mm-hmm. I think that that's Brady, you know, if you look at the key to the Buccaneers run, besides their defense, it was tight ends and running backs. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the Patriots did for 20 years, tight ends and running backs. Yeah. Is it aggravating for other teams? Yeah, it's aggravating when you're covering all these receivers. Oh yeah. Here comes a little James White out the side, boom, 20 yards.
Yeah.
That is, you know, what do we have now? You have Leonard Fournette and you have Ronald Jones, but especially Leonard Fournette throughout the playoff run. Okay. All these guys are covered. Okay. Check down. Yeah. Check down Charlie. Is Tom Brady check down Charlie? Yeah, he is check down Charlie, but it works. And maybe you see, you know, I see a lot of that. And some of these other guys are starting, these younger guys are starting to do that. The running back is basically another, you know, receiver on the field 90% of the time. So is he beating Father Time? Yeah, in a way, but I think also because of the way the game is called, we were talking about this before mm-hmm. we started recording. Basically, you know, you so much as, you know, tickle a guy, they're going to call a penalty, you know. And a lot of that is because of Brady and a little bit of Manning, too. Manning and Brady, I remember hearing this probably 10, 15 years ago. They went to the league themselves and said, hey, you know, we need to start protecting the quarterback. And it was really after Brady, when he had that torn ACL, that's when it really changed, when they started calling the penalties more. So, you know, you can thank Brady for that. A lot of these young guys can thank him for that, that you can't really touch the quarterback. So I think there's something to be said when, you know, that's the argument people often use. Well, if he played during Montana's time, when you could actually hit the quarterback, you know, he wouldn't be playing until he's 45. And I would agree with that. He could have played. It was 40, 41. Yeah. 42. I mean, Warren Moon and others played. So they were 40, you know, 43, 40. But I mean, they weren't putting up numbers. And of course, today, the offensive, it's all about offense. So can a guy who's 45 put up 4,000 yards? Yeah, he can put up 4,000 yards because the game's all about offense. So yards, to me, yards is a meaningless stat. Jameis Winston, for goodness sake, threw what, 35 interceptions and threw 5,000 yards. Well, would you say that's a successful season? No. You'd be like, that was a horrible season, but he still threw 5,000 yards. Yeah, but I mean, come on. Any of these guys are throwing at least 4,000 yards a season. So that's not even, and now you have an extra game. So who knows how records are going to be, you know, changing. Peyton Manning's record there could be in danger. Why? Because, there's an extra game now. So can you really compare the two? So anyway.
Garrett, we're going to stick down in the South. We're going to try to hit as many teams as possible, like I mentioned earlier. Go to another team, not far from where Tampa is. Well, a few states over, to go to New Orleans, Louisiana. Not sure where they'll be playing their games, unfortunately, with the hurricane. Not sure if they're able to play down where their home is. But
they're playing Jacksonville week one.
Okay.
At home, Jacksonville.
So you got a quarterback that's out in Drew Brees, and a Hall of Famer, an all-timer, one of those guys that holds records, not just for his team, but also for the league as well. And now you got Jameis Winston. Some thought Taysom Hill should have been the quarterback. You got a good defense, a defense that had some issues last year, but a good defense. And you also have a team that with a disgruntled Michael Thomas, your best receiver on the team. The quarterback position specifically, though, you've even got Alvin Kamara behind him, who I still think, as weird as this is possibly underrated by some, but he's still one of the better running backs in the National Football League. If I could have got him in a fantasy draft, I would have. And that whole quarter situation, I like Jameis. Well, let me say it's changing. I used to like Jameis. I used to think Jameis could be a good quarterback. I'm kind of off that train. I think he can be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And I do think, Garrett, he is the better option to start for the Saints than Taysom Hill.
I totally agree. And I think this is be the first time really that Winston will actually have what some would consider a Hall of Fame level coach. So I think.
Whoa. Also, so you don't think I'm going to play devil's advocate. You don't think Bruce Arians is a Hall of Fame level coach?
Well,
I'm joking with you.
Bruce Arians his coach for a year? I thought.
Yeah. The year he threw for 5,000 yards, 30 and 30. I was Bruce Arians.
Okay, so
I don't think Arians is a Hall of Famer. Don't get me wrong. I don't right now. He could be.
It's hard
but,
to say. Hard to say. I would say he probably will get in. I think for like coaches, longevity is a big thing. Like with people, he's been coaching for 50 years. Yeah, but he's a record. You know, that doesn't mean he's good.
Right.
You know, but anyway, you're right. He did have Bruce Arians. But I don't know. Would you rather have Sean Payton or Bruce? I would rather have Sean Payton. So the pieces around him, he didn't have the pieces that Brady has. I mean, he had Mike Evans, but Brady's got a little bit more, you know, than Winston had at the time. It'll be interesting to see. I think with Payton, he will be able to put out a scheme that maybe lessens the amount of deep passes that, because you know Bruce Arians is run, you know, he's gunning down the field 40. That's, you know, you've even seen that with the Bucks. They kind of changed their offense. It kind of went more Brady's way, you know, and that's when they started to have more success. When Bruce Arians kind of let go of the reins a little bit, and with Winston. Sean Payton's definitely going to need to rein him in and help him and put out a scheme. So I think he'll be good at that. I think they'll surprise people. I don't think they're going to, you know, be plus their defense is very good. So can they, and also even in the division, I think they can beat Carolina, and I think they can still beat Atlanta a couple times. And so I haven't looked at their schedule per se, but I don't know how hard their schedule is, but I don't think they're going to, you know, beat the Bucks. I don't think they're going to win the division. Couldn't they get in a wild card with 17 games? It's a possibility. I think they would now with an extra wild. I think there's 7 teams that get in now, so they could be the 7th seed, if you will, then in an NFC. But we'll have to wait and see. Depends on how healthy the team can stay. And like you said, Kamara is a big deal. You know, he will be the centerpiece of that, even more so than Michael Thomas was.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to be the centerpiece of that offense. They need to kind of – they used to – with Breeze, you know, Breeze can throw it down the field. Winston can throw it, but he can't – we'll see how many mistakes he can limit himself from making. So it'll be interesting to see what New Orleans does. I think they could get maybe 9 or 10 wins, but that's about it. The division is going to be tough with the Bucks there, but the NFC is so loaded. And so it's going to be hard for them to get in. But could they sneak in? Maybe. But I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to be what they were with Breeze. Breeze is all one of all-time greats. So we'll see. I'm with you. I thought Winston could be a great quarterback in the league coming out of Florida State. He even had a good first year, if I can remember. But then for some reason, he can't stop throwing the ball to the other team.
No, he can't. No, he can't. We're going to stick with, well, not so much the South. I'm going to come up north a little bit to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill, I've never been the biggest fan of, but with Derrick Henry behind him and now Julio Jones with him as well, I really think that may be the team to beat in the AFC South. Now, you know me, I'm a Colts fan. I'm also trying to be as realistic as possible. We're going to hit the Colts here in a second. The Titans defense had some holes, had some question marks, got to exploit it a little bit. But when you have Julio, who does tend to get hurt a little bit, but I wonder how durable or if he'll be healthier going to Tennessee, where he is not going to be looked at to be the main piece of the offense because the running back always gets hurt. A lot of intriguing pieces to this Titans team. Henry, Julio Jones, and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, not the sexiest name of the three, but he might be a good enough quarterback to move the ball and for the team to be very, very successful.
You know, if you look at the statistics over the last, I guess, like 20 games, Tannehill's passer rating, yards, efficiency is up there with Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of people don't know that. But he's very efficient, which is good. He kind of reminds me a little bit, when I say efficiency, of a younger maybe, like a younger Philip Rivers a little bit, where he was very efficient. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to keep you in games. Is he, you know, he's not like, when I think about Philip Rivers, he's like, he's almost to great, but he's good. And that's what I think about Ryan Tannehill. He's almost to great, but he's good enough. Plus with Derrick Henry, who I don't think he's going to run for 2,000 yards this year. Well, maybe with 17 games he will, but I don't see him maybe as putting up as much production as in years past. The player to watch for me is A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown is a top 5 receiver in the league.
Really?
100%. I do. I think he's going to come. I think with Julio Jones garnering some attention, I don't expect Julio Jones to go out there and light the field up because he's a little bit older and he does, you know, has some injuries. What is he, 33, 34 now? So he's on kind of in the lower end of his career, which is so weird to say, because I feel like it was just yesterday. I remember Julio Jones coming into the league, and now he's you know, he's getting older. So weird to say, but I really do think this is AJ Brown's. This is his. He's gonna take. He's gonna be the number one guy, and put up a lot of. I think 1,500 yards. I really do. I think he's special, and it's really special. And I think with Jones out there, maybe as a decoy, drawing some attention, I could see him, you know, he could still put up 10, 11 touchdowns because in the red zone, I mean, Julio Jones, he's unstoppable on those fade routes. If Tannehill can get some of those fades to him, I think Brown's going to have a breakout year. I do think they will win the division simply because you've already got Wentz on, you know, out with the foot injury. And so with a healthy Wentz, could I see the Colts win that division? Yes. But with him in limbo, who knows? I liked Eason. You know, we talked about Eason when I was mad when the Colts drafted. I wanted the Patriots to draft him. So we'll see how Eason does. I think Eason's going to be good. He could surprise some people. And the Colts defense is so good. I mean, I think they just signed. Did they not sign? Was it Leonard?
Yeah.
To a record. Was it like a record contract? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For his position. So they've got that, and their offensive line is good. Plus, the running back there, the names are escaping me right now. But
Jonathan Taylor?
Thank you. Jonathan Taylor, who came, you know, during the middle of the year, there was some rumbling. Like, is he any good? He can't hold onto the ball. But towards the end of the year, my goodness, Jonathan Taylor was the best back in the league the last few weeks of the year. So that they could, you know, and it seems like to me, the Colts have kind of owned the Titans in previous years, last several years. So, hey, would it shock me if the Colts won? No, it wouldn't shock me if the Colts won that division. It really wouldn't. But I would say I'd probably have to go with the Titans, but it's going to be closer than people think. And so we'll have to wait and see what the Titans can do. Their secondary is terrible. Yeah. So can Tannehill keep up with some of these? Because it's going to be shootout games. With the Titans, they're going to have to put up 35 points a game to win. Can they ball control? Maybe with Henry, they could. But it will be interesting to see. That's going to be a really interesting division with those two teams going back and forth all year.
Let's stick with the Colts right there. I was going to go to them later, but you already started mm-hmm. talking about them a little bit.
Yeah.
Specifically quarterback position and Carson Wentz. People in Philly didn't like him, think he's overrated, he can't play well, makes bad decisions. Well, now he's in Indianapolis with the coach and Frank Reich, former NFL quarterback of his own. I think he was consistently a backup, but, you know, backups make the best coaches. So I think it was a great – it's a phenomenal thing that he is a head coach right now. Was actually in Philly when they won their Super Bowl. So Frank Reich knows what's needed to win a Super Bowl with the backup quarterback then and with the Eagles. And you bring in Carson Wentz, who was there with you, and he was there when Carson Wentz was successful the most recently. Frank Reich was out there in Philly. So there's a lot of connections there, little details that you can look at to kind of describe the situation. And I'm just curious, T.Y. Hilton hurt once again. He gets hurt every year. I don't know what the problem is. They brought him back. Oh, he'll be healthy. No, it's T.Y. Hilton. He'll be hurt. So you got T.Y. Hilton, who is hurt. You got Carson Wentz, who is in. You got a really good O-line. I mean, a really, really, really good O-line in front of him. Jonathan Taylor behind him. Will Marlon Mack come back and be healthy after getting hurt early in the year? These are all the questions surrounding, and some of them will hinder how effective Carson Wentz is on the field. Garrett, I am higher on Wentz than some. Don't think he's best in the league. I'm higher on Wentz than some. I think Wentz will be good in Indianapolis. The defense is so good, he doesn't have to play out of this world. And I think Carson Wentz, once Colts fans and people around the league realize the Reich-Wentz connection, I think that this team, not just battling with the Titans, but could battle with other teams in the AFC to be towards the top of the conference because of how good the defense is, not because of how good Wentz plays.
Well, you remember, back in 2003, 2004, Brady wasn't lighting it up, but that defense was so good.
Yes.
And I think that this is the model I think the Colts need to follow.
Yes.
Can they need to, you know, focus on, hey, is it going to be lower scoring games? Yep. But can our defense, defense wins championships? I think they definitely could, even upset the Titans a couple times, one out of two times, some of these other teams that they've got to play. Absolutely. I'm with you on Wentz. I like Carson Wentz. I root for Carson Wentz. I think he's a great person, a person I want to root for as a Christian too. He's a Christian guy. I like that about him. He's a leader. He's a family man. I really like Carson Wentz. It bothers me that he's hurt so often. He's not somebody that I'm trying to make fun of when he's hurt. You know, there's other guys, like, they get hurt. You're like, oh, that guy's always hurt. Yeah, it's a joke. But with Carson Wentz, I don't feel that way. I want him to be successful. I want him to get on the – I want to see him, what he can do in Indiana. I really want – because even if you look at was a couple years ago, last year, what he had, he had nothing to play with in Philly. Zach Ertz, and that's it. You know, you have older Sean Jackson, who's always hurt. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. He had, I think he had Alshon Jeffrey, but he was always hurt. Mm-hmm. So has he really had a chance to really, and when he did, he was an MVP candidate up until he got hurt.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, Foles went on his run to win the whole thing. But really, that was Carson Wentz's team, and he was playing out of his mind, and Reich was there. So I agree with you. So, you know, sometimes it's that coach and player connection, and that particular coach can get the most out of Wentz. Reich can get the most out of Wentz. So I agree with you. I think Wentz, if he stays healthy, could – definitely they could win that division and could make a deep run. And look what the Bucs defense did to Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Can a Colts defense in a playoff game, you know, here in 3 or 4 months here, can we see them two go to head? And can they make one or two plays to where they could beat a Chiefs team and shock the world, you know? And because I don't see the Chiefs making a third, what is it, third, we'd be a third straight Mm-mm. Super Bowl. Mm-mm. So who is that? Mm-mm. Who is that team? Who is that team that could come up in the AFC? It very well could be the Colts. It's going to be the Colts. It's going to be the Bills. It's going to be the Ravens. It's going to be one of those teams. And it very well could be a Colts defense where these guys are a little bit older now, a little bit more experienced. And could they upset one of these teams? Absolutely, they could. They almost did. Last year, whether it was the Bills, they very well could have won. You know, we were talking about that. I remember talking with you during that game, thinking some decisions Reich made was frustrating, that they could have won that game. And who knows? Do I think, and I will say this, if the Colts were playing the Chiefs, and as it was the AFC Championship game, and Henny had come in, the Colts would have won that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100% would have won that game. The Bills have this cloud over them of sadness and disappointment and coming up short. I love making fun. I live in New York, and they're the best fans in the world, but I laugh every time I think about all their up and, you know, their shortcomings that they've had. So I think the Colts in a tight playoff game, can they make a play? Can somebody make a play? Absolutely. They could be in the Super Bowl. 100%. I think more so, I give them a better shot to get into the Super Bowl than I did last year. So, definitely. Okay. Especially with Wentz over – because Rivers was older. I don't trust Rivers. And I just don't – I don't know. He's so frustrating to me. And I'm sad that he's gone. And, of course, now he's a high school football coach now.
Yeah.
I think he won – I think they won their first game by 45 points, something ridiculous. Of course, you know, half the team is probably his kids. So, so they got that. They got that football gene in them, you know. So I miss Rivers, but I'm excited to see what Wentz can do once he's back playing. How long is he out? I don't know how long he's out.
So originally it was 5 to 12 weeks, which was one of the oddest timetables I've ever heard.
5 to 12.
But he was back on the practice field, at least like moving around and being mobile, at least a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. So he may play this weekend. I expect him to play around game three, game four at the latest. Mm-hmm. All depends on how the rehab's going. But some say he could play week one. I think he'll play probably week three or week four. I think it's probably going to be Eason to start. Sam Ellinger actually looked decent during preseason, but I don't want to put I don't know, man. I've never been a Sam Ellinger guy. I've always liked
Eason. Who do they have week one? Who are they playing?
The Seahawks.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you have to look at your schedule and you have to say, how long can we rest him, get him 100% to where, hey, I don't want to start 0-2. Because then you start 0-2, my goodness, and it's just like, or 0-1, 0-2. You don't want to start 0-2, 0-3, because then you're, you know, you're like, okay, this is even, we're not even going to make the playoffs now because so many good teams in the A. The playoff race is going to be so tight this year. There, I don't think there's going to be a team that's 14-3 and then everybody else is left. I think it's going to be everybody's going to be 12 and 5, 11 and 6. Everyone's going to be right on that bubble this year, especially with that extra game. It's going to tighten things up so much that, man, the first 2 weeks are so – back in the day when you had, 17 games and you had teams that were so much better, there was a couple teams that were so much better than everybody else, you might be able to lose a couple, games at the beginning. But with Peyton Manning, you could start maybe 0-2 and still make the playoffs, but not now. It's so much tighter. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough decision to see. That's going to be I didn't even know they were playing week. That's going to be an interesting game. I don't even know who I'm going to pick to win. I don't even care if Wentz is playing. I don't know. I just don't see what they did in their with the Seahawks, what they did in their offensive line to stop, Wilson from running around. He's going to be running around that whole game.
I don't think they did anything either. And he's been top of the league. He's been sacked a lot. I looked this up.
He's going to get sacked a lot week one too.
I don't know why they don't care about protecting him, because you would think Pete Carroll would care about protecting his quarterback, his most valuable possession on the team, but clearly that's not the case.
No, Pete Carroll's defensive first. That's what he cares about, is those defensive guys. And he puts so much stock into, well, Wilson could do anything and everything. Well, not if he doesn't have – look what Mahomes, again, with no offensive line. He couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. Even the most athletic guy in the – and Wilson's getting up there. He's not old. He's still in his prime, but he's not in the beginning. He's in the middle. So, man, he had to protect him. So I'm intrigued by that. I didn't know that they were playing week one. That'll be interesting.
Very, very interesting. Garrett, we're going to go up to your neck of the woods. Not so much New York or Jersey. Go to New England. Talk about the guy that's behind you and how say that he stole Cameron Newton's starting spot. I think that his arm is better than Cameron Newton's. It has been for a while. Cam can't throw. I told you last year before the season, Cam can't throw. You said, no, we'll be fine. Well, halfway through the season, you got on the bandwagon, and you said, Jay, you're right. And now Cam Newton is not on the team. Were you surprised that Cam got cut?
Oh, I'm very surprised. I don't know what Bill Belichick was seeing or envisioning, because I thought if anybody – he should have been cut last year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play, and I think it's the worst quarterback play I've ever seen in my entire life, where it was like a 5-yard – it was literally a 5-yard pass, and he threw it into the guy's feet in the end zone. Guy's wide open, and I'm like, what? I think I turned off the game and left. I was so mad. I said, I can make that throw. I mean, I watched it. I said, this can't be real. And I think, what is Bill doing? What is he – and I just think with Belichick, he just loves guys that love him. He wants loyalty, and he wants, guys that are going to love the Patriot way and love being a Patriot. And he's, he loves that. And Cam Newton, the number one thing that surprised me about Cam was his loyalty and his love for the, everything that people said about him, he didn't do. Like, well, he's going to be bad for the team. He's got a bad attitude. He doesn't want to jump on the fumble in the Super Bowl. He's not going to – every time somebody made a play, Cam was the first one there to high-five him. Cam was, giving everybody nicknames and all these things. I'm like, man, he's a great teammate, and he's very likable. His press conferences and all these things, very likable. I think he overcompensated in that because he knew his talent wasn't where it should have been. So I've got to overcompensate in my loyalty and my – what I say and what I do and how I handle myself. But it does – I thought maybe they would keep him as maybe a backup.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me believes, and I've heard this narrative, and maybe you've heard this too, that Bill maybe did Cam a favor by cutting him. Like, we'll see if another team gives him a chance. Maybe he can go somewhere else. Somebody gets hurt and he could come in. I've heard that narrative. I don't believe that, but I've heard that narrative where, he did Cam a favor. Maybe he'll go join the Cowboys. Oh, he'll go join some other team where he could, have a chance at starting at some point. But he just can't. I like him as more as a person than I ever have before. But He just can't throw. He just can't throw. So it did surprise me because I waited so long for that, for Bill to do it. And then boom, it was like, I was sitting in my chair and I'm watching TV and all of a sudden I get the notification. And I'm like, what? And that's how everybody said, they thought he would have done it a long time ago. And when he did it, it was a shock. And Bill typically never starts rookie quarterbacks. And the entire time, even when he drafted, maybe other than Bledsoe, but when he drafted Brady didn't start. He drafted some of these other guys. Garoppolo didn't start right away. Obviously, Brady was there. But he doesn't typically with rookie, even his defensive rookies, they don't play. Even Duggar, Kyle Duggar, we drafted mm-hmm. Kyle Duggar, mm-hmm. Chase Winovich. There's others that we've drafted in the first or second rounds that don't you think they are going to play a lot, but they don't play very much because he doesn't really play rookies that much. So it was a very – and I think part of this too is a Robert Kraft decision too. I think Kraft saw – now, when typically in the past, when they had their training camps, and the Patriots had great attendance from fans at their training camps and practices, and some say it could be COVID, but you could see the crowd was a lot smaller than when Brady was there. And so maybe Kraft was kind of feeling the heat financially. He's like, hey, maybe I've got to get a bug in Bill's ear. And I think McDaniels even had a say in it a little bit more. McDaniels loves him some Mac Jones. For some reason, I don't know what it is about Mac Jones, but he loves him some Mac Jones. And I don't think he had a good relationship with Cam. Bill had a good relationship. I don't think McDaniels had a great relationship with Cam. That's my opinion. And right after McDaniels, I don't know if you saw this, but Cam made a post and it was about loyalty. And
was that like in Cam, like all the like the weird lettering, weird writing?
Oh no, all of his posts are that.
I didn't weird. Even read it. I didn't. I was like, man, it,
but you got, said, no. Yeah, it was a thing about loyalty, and it was right after McDaniels had done a press conference and he came out. He was talking about how much he loved Mac. Mac was so good. Mac, he's been in the film room. He's leading the team and blah blah blah. And then and also in that preseason game, Cam had like 5 reps. That's it. And then the rest of the game was Mac. So he was kind of upset about that. And McDaniels comes out and talks so good about Mac. And so Cam posts about this. It says loyalty, loyalty. And then they ask him in a press conference. And Cam goes, no, man, this is about some women in my life. And well, he's lying. It was obviously about I'll have to send it to you, man. He says, no, it was about. I got some personal things going on. No, it was about McDaniels and it was about the team. So you could sense back then that there was a rift beginning. And then the whole COVID thing with Cam, the COVID thing happened where he had to be out. I think it was like 5 days or something like that, where I don't know all the details of that, but that kind of, I think, rubbed the team the wrong way. And so that did it. It was the COVID. It was the, he you could see he still wasn't really learning the offense. And so, yeah, it surprised me, but I'm looking forward to see what Mac Jones can do with the offense.
Me too. I want to end here with a rookie quarterback in Chicago, kind of going around the NFL. We're going to end here and Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. You can kind of put Nick Foles in the third spot. Offseason, I remember this was on Twitter that the Bears tweeted out a picture of Andy Dalton and it said QB1. That was the caption. You move up in the draft to get Justin Fields. In the preseason, it looked like Justin Fields was going up against a lot of backups, and so take that for what it's worth. Preseason is not regular season football. We know what Andy Dalton is as a quarterback, even at this stage in his career. We think we might have a glimpse of a chance of knowing, not for sure, but chance of knowing what Justin Fields is or might be in the National Football League when the season starts this coming Sunday. I do believe that the Bears are planning to start Andy Dalton, not Justin Fields. Who would you start?
Yes.
Fields or Dalton?
I think you definitely have to start Andy Dalton just because, as far as experience and it's week one and you don't typically throw the kid out. He's not a number one pick. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, if you're putting your number one pick into a guy, yeah, you have to start him. He's your number one pick. I mean, you got to start him. But with Fields, I think it'll be fairly quickly when you start to hear the Bears fans, you know, clamoring for I could even see it as week two, as early as week two or three, where Fields is out there. I would go with Andy Dalton just to see, you know, what Andy Dalton can do. But man, oh man, Chicago as an organization has got to be one of the dumbest organizations. just to, like you mentioned that picture, that just makes me so angry. Why?
You don't do this stuff is like
not,
that.
It's not Tom Brady. It's not Aaron Rodgers, QB1. It's Andy freaking Dalton.
Yeah.
Okay. You act like, oh man, the other teams, they're shaking in their boots. Andy Dalton's your QB1. Oh man, we're all so scared. The Packers and the Vikings, they're so scared now. You put out there that Andy Dalton. When was it a good idea, anyways, to tell the other teams your plan? You know, Belichick was good at this, and so wasn't Dungy, and there was others where you didn't know their plan. They're not going to go on the press conference or Twitter and tell you what they were going to do on Sunday. Some of that, sometimes it's good to have that anonymity, like, hey, we don't know who's starting week one. Could it be Dalton? Could it be Fields? And so it's good sometimes for the team to be how are we going to scheme? We have to prepare for two players, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now you put out there, oh, Andy Dalton's, you know, now I have to prepare for Andy Dalton. And we saw what Andy Dalton did with Dallas. It was bad. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I at the beginning when Andy Dalton started, like, he was pretty good. But then I don't know. I don't wait past week one. Can Andy Dalton, I don't know who they're playing. I haven't looked at all the schedules, but I don't see him lasting very long. I think you got to get Fields in there. And he looks good. But like you said, some of these guys are backups or third string, fourth string guys he's playing against. So, you know, typically you would hope your top 10 pick is going to look good against these guys. But I certainly could see pretty early on Fields is going to get in there. But I don't get why Chicago thinks they have they feel the need to, you know, taunt Andy Dalton so much. I mean, goodness great. Taunt your first round draft guy, make him feel good, pump him up, get him ready. Let him know you're our future. Don't pump up Andy Dalton. It doesn't make any, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Nope. None whatsoever. Garrett, this has been fun, man. A little preseason around the NFL. See, the football starts this week for the National Football League. Got a weekend full of college football. I love that. I'm going to love the NFL as well. You're watching your Patriots and everybody else. I have my eyes fixated on the Colts and Seahawks this coming Sunday. A battle, which could have been a defensive battle. But as we know how the Seahawks offensive line goes and the Colts defense looks really good, it might be a long night for Russell Wilson running around for his life. Garrett Grandy, this is fun. Thank you for coming back on the Jay Stevens Podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It is time to get these picks off. And I want to say something very quickly. If you didn't notice between the beginning of the show and when we started the interview with Garrett, for some odd reason, my normal microphone is not working properly, so I had to go to my backup mic. You may have noticed the sound being a little bit different between me doing the Zoom with Garrett and then the beginning of the show. The microphone in a couple days said, yep, we're going to give up the ghost and go bye-bye. So we're using the backup mic right now. Hopefully, we're not having to use this one very long. It provides good sound, but the other one is the one that I prefer to use to record this show. 5 picks for college football, 5 picks for the National Football League, and we're going to the house. And college football on Friday. I'm going Coastal Carolina to beat Kansas on Saturday. Ohio State beats Oregon. Iowa beats Iowa State. Michigan at home beats the Washington Huskies to start the season 2-0. And then USC, the Trojans, beat Stanford. I really want to know when Stanford will figure things out and be competitive on the field week in and week out. Because right now, what we have seen lately, that is something they have not been. USC, Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, and Coastal Carolina, the winners for this weekend.
In the NFL, the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys. The Cardinals go on the road to Tennessee and beat the Titans. The Browns go to Kansas City. I might be a little crazy for this one, but I think that Browns defense is so good. The Browns go to Kansas City. The Chiefs, offensive line, not what it used to be. And I think that may derail them. Week one, Browns beat the Chiefs. Rams beat the Bears. Quarterback situation in Chicago. We're all wondering what's going to happen there. And then the Raiders at home in their new stadium, Allegiant Stadium, beat the Baltimore Ravens. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. If you enjoyed what you listened to today, please head to Apple Podcast, leave a 5-star review. It is greatly appreciated. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. This has been episode 222 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see y'all next time.